Before we get into our latest Big Brother 22 eviction recap, let me take a moment and tell you about the return of another reality TV franchise. Shark Tank is returning Friday, October 16th at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. In unprecedented times like this, it's great to know that the American dream lives on. That's right, Shark Tank is back in business, and it's more inspirational and crazy than ever. When you see what they did to get this show back on the air, it'll blow your mind, as will the wild inventions the most driven entrepreneurs from around the country will bring into the tank. There's no better time for an uplifting show like this, and with some amazing new guest sharks, including the creator of Tom's Shoes, Blake Mycoskie, and jewelry designer and CEO Kendra Scott. One thing is for certain, in the tank, the streets are still paved with gold, from self-cleaning water bottles to pizza cupcakes. When the sharks see a great idea, the feeding frenzy is on. The Emmy-winning Shark Tank returns Friday, October 16th at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy with an air hug from 6 feet away for all of you. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Eviction night. We are down to the final five. And it was Tyler Crispin who was voted out by a vote of 2-1. We will talk about that and what is next in store for the Big Brother 22 game with our roundtable panel tonight. Of course, welcome back in a man who talked about this lead up all week long. We'll see ultimately if the house guest got it right or not. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob, and I can tell you that you are definitely not going to like it if you kick me off of this podcast. Something bad's going to happen. You're not going to like it. It's going to be bad for you.
That's going to be bad for me, but if I if I keep you, it'll be good for me?
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, because it would be tough. It'd be your tough competition. No.
Yeah, but something bad is going to happen.
Is it like a chain letter?
Somebody might have a power that something bad might happen to the swing vote that votes me out. That's all I'm saying. It's just it's happened before.
I would hate that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Taryn, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. You had Tyler in the draft. That was my big. That was one of my biggest competitions with my Cody and Nicole still left. We'll see. If I can go.
Not good. I don't know. Do I have anybody left in the draft?
No, I think that's it.
I think that might be it.
That's it. All right. Of course, we're very excited to have here with us tonight a woman who I think that she might have gotten a shout out in the show tonight. Here was Tyler.
My Hail Mary.
Frail Mary.
Yeah, I think of it every time someone says that. I was glad for his shout out, but the one I was really paying attention to, I think, is more applicable because, Rob, you can be Michelangelo, Taryn, you can be Donatello, Josh, you can be Raphael. I think we got all the turtles then.
Yes. Yes. Why, did they talk about the Ninja Turtles tonight?
Yeah, that was what Ian was doing before anyone else joined him in the jury house.
Yes, he was what, just ranking the Ninja Turtles?
He's naming the turtles.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cute. Right, I enjoyed that. I'm so heartbroken. I'm just really heartbroken that we didn't get any more of that. But I'm not bitter, so I'll keep watching.
Okay. That's what I get for grabbing my dinner on the commercial break and then not getting back to my TV fast enough. All right. And then we're very excited to have back with us here tonight. Josh Williams is here. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Rap. Oh, Rap. I mean, Rob, sorry about that. I was trying to make it
well,
sound.
I believe I was Raphael, so I think that counts.
Raphael? No, I was Raphael. Oh, I was going to say my name is like Josh FL. We got Mary Marinato, Taranato. Sorry. These are very much on topic. Anyways, yo, with this season coming to a wrap.
Yes, Josh.
I'm on Rap, letting you guys know that, to your answer earlier, Rob, what's going on next episode is not Tyler. We're not going to see Tyler no more.
No.
He's gone.
Unless we go back to the jury house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that early. We don't want to see him. That's not that early.
All right.
That jury house needs to stop saying people are running the game.
Yeah, jury house is not really on the ball. They are not really on top of things. They are no more on top of things than they were in the regular house, in the jury house.
Watch out,
Cody. You guys thought they were going to change?
Yeah.
Change the scenery? Was going to change their, like,
oh,
their mindset.
I've got it all figured out right now. But no, not yet. Not yet. Okay. So we got a lot to do here tonight. We're going to take your questions here in this show. And so we will also send our questions to Tyler Crispin and hear from him on a podcast tomorrow. Taryn, tell me if this is crazy talk. I think maybe we should do, assuming we get the exit interview questions back, we have our Tyler exit interview tomorrow on the slop.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Tommy Bracco will join us as well when Taryn is co-hosting the slop with me on Friday afternoon, everybody. So we'll see. Assuming we get answers back to our questions from Tyler, we will have our long-awaited Tyler interview, Taryn.
It's just going to be five. You should have been nice.
I think we get six.
Oh, six. Okay. Well, maybe he just leaves the last one blank. That was the, so you should have been nice five times. And then.
Yeah.
That's it.
We were debating, saying that these are questions for a podcast called News AF. Like, okay. News AF. Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, let me just get to the bottom of kind of a mysterious thing today, right? The feeds were down the whole day. Tyler talked about that there was going to be a Frail Mary or a Hail Mary that was going to be coming up. There was some sort of like buzz. Julie said that things were going back and forth all day. And it seemed like that there was like some nervous energy. And then when it didn't happen, it was still 3-0. Then everybody sort of like had like a sigh of relief. Enzo and Nicole went back and forth like, wait, who did you vote for? Who did you vote for? Like, there seemed like there was some confusion. Do we make anything out of this?
Yeah, so my theory here is that Tyler's Hail Mary plan was to essentially go back to his roots. The very first real move he made, yes, in the game of Big Brother 20 was he convinced Caitlin to flip her vote to evict Summer of Steve 2018. And he did so by saying that if you vote Sam out, something bad will happen to you. And Caitlin was like, oh my God, I guess I gotta vote Steve out. And I think what he did was he did a throwback and he was like, guys, if you vote me out, something bad will happen to you. And I think that might have been his play. And that's what he was referring to in his eviction speech.
Summer Steve 2018.
Yeah. So you think that he said that maybe he had a power?
Something like that. Yeah. Like there was some kind of twist or just like something in general, like something was going to happen. And then when the votes come in and she says Tyler's evicted and they're like, something going to happen. Nothing happens. It was worth a try. Right. It seems like that might have been his play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
OK. I
feel like he just didn't commit to it enough. You know, he was more like, hey, you guys,
whatever.
I'm not going out with a fight. If you vote me out, something bad will happen to you. All right, thank you, Julie. He just ended it there.
Yeah.
And it's even more weak when you remember that the power that was like the bad thing that could happen was just that someone who got voted out would get another chance to come back in. Which doesn't really hurt anyone. Like, if that's the case, go ahead, vote him out. Maybe he'll pull a Caitlin and not be able to get back in.
Yeah, his speech that what he said in reference to that was he said that he's not done yet. And he said, if you vote him out, it's not going to be good for any of your games. I feel like it's going to be good for somebody's game. Like somebody, like one of these five people is going to win if they vote him out, right?
Yeah. Well, you going home increases my chance of winning.
Yeah.
It's like, not like it works.
It seemed like there was some faulty logic there. Like it had to have been good. Like somebody is a winner and somebody's a loser no matter what happens in the house.
Well, I think he was trying to say that the twist will make it bad for everybody.
Yeah, he's not allowed to say what it is.
I guess so. Maybe he did have like a detailed twist that he explained to them, and he just referred to it on the in his speech.
Okay, so I do wonder if we'll get some of that in the Monday night episode, if there's anything that we didn't see from the day. Just one other thing, Terrence, in terms of like the format of the episode, the feeds were down the entire day today. What is going on? Why have they shifted to a more of a pre-tape Thursday episode? It's not like that they don't include mistakes that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think just to make sure that with the short staff that everything works, and also like who could be bothered to show the feeds? Mm-hmm. We gotta turn them off and then turn them back on and turn them off again. Like, why don't we just leave them off?
Just leave them off for the whole day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I gotta press a whole button. Come on.
Yeah.
So. What? Josh, any headlines for you of Tyler? That it's been 161 days in the Big Brother house for Tyler. How are you reacting to Tyler's first time being voted out of the house?
You know what? I'll say this about Tyler. As somebody, he is the the critically acclaimed. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I really don't know. But he's a critically acclaimed great player. Big Brother, and one of the few things I noticed at least is he did come out, especially leaving this week, with a fight. Like, he didn't have much of a fighting chance. You know, he was going to be the one to go. It was the smartest decision for anybody's game to take him out, but he still fought, and I really liked that. Plus, his hair looked fantastic today.
Yes,
and, I was like, wow, look at his hair, something's different about it, and I loved it. So, yeah.
I also want to fact check. I said 161 days. It was 164 days in the Big Brother house. But those 164 days that they were not all great.
All right. So I've spent a total of 164 days in this house, and none of them have been better than the first 91 because of you, Angela. I love you and I miss you more than I can even say. And I'm so proud of you and thankful for you.
Mary, there wasn't one day in Big Brother 22 that was better than any of the first 91 days. Even the day he got put up on the block with the hacker twist.
Yeah, probably that day, not so great. Probably the day him and Bailey had some rocky waters, probably not so great. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact that, like, little bit of a revisionist history to say that he really spent all of those 91 days like with Angela. I mean, they were both there.
Yeah.
Does that count? It's like, if you take a break, do you get to add up the time? You know, I don't know if it counts.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got to see a little bit of Tyler's plan and what's going to happen. They went back and forth. Taryn, do you feel like that the show really hit, covered all their bases tonight in terms of seeing Tyler's campaign for the week?
I mean, it was basically like, hey, don't vote me out, it'll be bad. Essentially that it was a good pitch. He made good points. I don't think he drove them home as much as he needed to. I don't think he had the emotional element that he needed, but that was basically it.
So we saw a lot of the Cody feeling like, okay, I can't trust Memphis. And there was a lot of talk about it'll be 4-1 if I stay, as opposed to 3-2. Was there one thing in particular that was just the damning argument against Tyler?
It wasn't just one thing. And I mentioned this on the update the other day that, you know, at various points through the week, Cody had the epiphany, maybe we should keep Tyler. But Enzo and Nicole were like, nah, I don't know if we should. He was like, nah, you're right, we shouldn't. And then Enzo had the epiphany, maybe we should keep Tyler. And then Cody and Nicole were like, no, we shouldn't. And then Nicole was like, I think we're making a mistake by evicting Tyler. And then Enzo was like, no, we should get rid of him. And so, you know, if things had come together in the right way, like, there were a lot of different things that could have happened to keep Tyler in the game this week, but nothing ever really like came through and broke that barrier.
It's almost the opposite of what people normally say. Normally, you get a lot of lies where people say, oh, you know, I'd be down to keep you, but the votes aren't there. We haven't all come together. It's kind of a similar situation, except for the votes were there, but just at different times. And the timing never solidified. It wasn't really the people, but it was almost a week where in some ways, Tyler would have had a better chance at staying if he had somehow convinced Cody to put Memphis up and take Christmas off or something, or take him off and put Memphis up. But either way, rather than just keeping him over Christmas, because some of it is the optics of, okay, but it's you and Christmas, like who's the bigger threat? It's just have that sort of hanging over your head. And if he was able to convince them to go a different way, that might have helped. But it's really just sometimes you swing during a triple eviction and you miss the giant key, you know?
Yeah.
I think Tyler really did mess up when he had power the week before and didn't make the big decision, the big shot. Like, hitting Danny was indirectly hitting Cody, since it was never something Cody wanted to do. And if you just hit Cody, somebody who just directly hit him, I think you could easily convince Danny that, hey, this was me trying to take a shot at him, not you, over, hey, Danny, hey, Cody, I was taking a shot at Danny, not you. And, you know, this is just him getting, like, the effects of what happened his week before of, you know, doing the triple eviction. And sometimes you just get what you deserve. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard.
The Danny move on the triple eviction was kind of a wasted move, because everybody mm-hmm. wanted Danny out. He did the house's dirty mm-hmm. work, and then ultimately just became the person who was very disposable after he ended up doing that. Taryn, what was the shot he should have taken?
At the very least, it should have been Memphis.
Yeah.
Memphis was the more dangerous operator there. If he takes out Memphis, then he gets Christmas all to himself. Now, we know now that Cody still probably would have won the following HOH. He still probably would have won the following veto. And he still probably takes out Tyler at that point. So really, the shot should have been Cody. Take out Cody. Other people have better chances to win the following competitions. Cody is really the glue holding everything together at this point.
The thing is, I don't even know who could have put up in that scenario to take Cody out.
Enzo,
I didn't think of that. Yeah, because I was thinking Nicole initially, which at least if Nicole goes, mm-hmm. keeps the person who he just tried to get out from being there and being upset with him. Mm-hmm. But
with Enzo, he would have had the votes, but he trusted Enzo too much. Even after Enzo screws him on the previous vote, he still trusts Enzo too much. Even after he takes out Danny, he still trusts Enzo too much, as we saw this week when he spilled too much info to Enzo, and it got him evicted.
I think Tyler losing David originally in the double eviction caused him to think he needs to put his trust that he had in David into someone else, which is why he directed it so much into Enzo, not realizing, hey, Enzo is betraying him. He had no choice to really pivot his decisions and change his entire game fast enough. So it caused him to be a little luxury, like a little messy and stuff flying around, and it got him into this position.
I liked in the episode, Tyler went to go campaign to Memphis, and then Memphis said, well, I'm probably voting you out. I gotta be honest.
That's been Memphis's MO all season long. He's always the first person to tell them that he's voting them out, and he does it while complimenting them. Mm-hmm. You're too much of a beast, Tyler. I can't beat
too
you
good.
In comps. I gotta take you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, Memphis right now. Honestly, at a game like this where everybody had played a very similar game strategically, as long as he's not sitting by Cody, I think Memphis has a great strategy of differentiating him from everyone else. He's talked such a straightforward game, and it got him right there at the end. It's a good winning case.
99%
right now
tells you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for the two final threes that he hit.
Yeah, this is the 1%. Yeah, just 1%. It's like you're looking at percentages like the amount of wealth distribution in the world, right? Like the 1% contains multitudes of information.
Have we seen a player who is as straightforward as Memphis is just most of the time? And it's straightforward and direct without really coming across. We've had some people, I think, tried to play that way in the beginning, but were immediately pegged as being like way too cocky about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly not perfect. Like, people get annoyed with him in the house for being that way. But really, like, walking out the door, you know, looking at the jury segment today, we didn't really hear anyone get super upset with Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel like that we see this style of jury management more in successful Survivor play than on Big Brother play. And I think the thing about Big Brother is that you will live with that person for a week. And there's a lot of like, you don't want to just like be like out and out. Yeah, you don't have my vote. It's sort of like, maybe we'll see. I'll do what the house says. Where I do think that people tend to respect it, at least in Survivor, a lot more when it's like, okay, yeah, here's exactly what I'm doing, or I'm voting against you unless you win immunity. And as long as you're not mean-spirited about it, then I think that people can respect that.
Yeah, the risk of telling somebody in Big Brother that you're voting them out is that they now, you need a narrative to sell potential voters to keep you around. And it's hard to do that when you're trying to get as many votes as possible. Like, who are you going after? Well, I don't want to say Memphis because Memphis might be a vote for me. But if Memphis tells you I'm not voting for you, boom, perfect. Now I have a target. Now I have a storyline that I can sell people. You keep me in this game, I'm going after Memphis. That's beneficial to you for whatever reason. And that's why it's dangerous to be honest with people. However, Memphis has been able to time it right, where he waits until he knows that person is going to go home no matter what, basically. And that's what's happened, that he says it. They can say they're targeting Memphis all they want. Then they leave saying they would have targeted Memphis, which is even better for his jury management, mm-hmm. because it's like, I was going to go after Memphis and you took me out.
It's that combined with in Big Brother also, even if someone in the house wasn't on Memphis's side, knowing where Memphis's head's at is a lot easier to deal with than someone like Tyler, who they have no clue what he would do. And they could easily see him flipping either direction if he had stayed this week. Mm-hmm. So that is also promising. There's a lot of keeping around the devil, you know.
Exactly. And Tyler showed, compared to everybody else, especially anybody who's a threat, Tyler showed that he's very unpredictable. He's ready to do anything, take shots at anybody at any time.
Whatever.
And yeah, and that's a good move at the person who's at the top. But when you're at a part where you gotta beg to stay, it's easier. Again, it's like Mary said, you keep the devil you know. Over the devil, you don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm.
So, Taryn, we saw a little bit of the Cody and Enzo trying to figure out where Memphis's head is at. They sort of came to the realization that that Memphis would take Christmas to the final two. Is that factual?
I mean, as far knows. As we know, yeah. It's not. I mean, granted, the last time we heard this, Memphis said in the diary room that he wanted to take Enzo to the final two. He also said to Danny at one point that he'd be worried about taking somebody like Christmas because she's a single mother and she has that sort of like sympathy thing that she can play on. Whereas somebody like Enzo, he's done nothing in this game. He sees Enzo as more of a goat than Christmas. Now, that was a few weeks ago, and I haven't really seen any update. I haven't seen him confirm that he's definitely still taking Enzo, but the last we heard, that was the case. And he still tells Enzo more than he tells Christmas, but that may just be a symptom of where Enzo is positioned within his structure. But I have no real reason to believe he's changed his mind at this point.
Wow.
One point in the episode, Cody comes in to have a conversation with Memphis, and this is how Cody greets Memphis.
Hello, potty boy.
What is that voice, Taryn? They do this in the house?
They do lots of voice. Look, the first time Cody played...
Party boy?
Played with a man named Frankie Grande.
Yeah.
Who did a lot of voices, a lot of accents, and I think he may have picked some of those up.
What is this, like a British accent, Mary?
Hello, potty boy.
So, I mean, the first word was a little British, but then it just kind of got like silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a silly. I mean, it was like with Memphis a few weeks ago with the hello that he did for 1 second.
Yeah. Okay.
Liv in the chat says it's from the Righteous Gemstones.
Memphis started it. Okay. All right. See, Memphis seems like more of a party
hello,
man.
Potty boy.
Okay.
Potty boy.
Okay. There you go. No. All you party boys and girls out there. All right. Let's talk about the jury house. Josh, were you excited to see the jury house tonight?
I was so excited to see my girl Devon. She looked great in that blue dress. I'm assuming it was blue, but I think it was blue. She looked great in there, and I thought she was just giving me so much good energy. I really wish I was getting Devon from like BB17 though, like, you know, where it was just like attitude every 5 seconds. She was like really giving all the gist, but this time she was like really calm. She was happy to be there. She was like, I'm so glad I'm not part of this triple. Absolutely not. That is a hot mess, and I got out before. She was actually happy about that.
Yeah, we had a lot of jury to unpack. We started with Ian and Devon, and Taryn, we found out, you know, Ian is not really holding a grudge against Nicole.
Yes, he was like, hey, good game move though. And this is one of the scenarios we talked about where, he seems like he's trying to convince Devon, like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. And Devon's like, I don't know if I can let go of this. So I'm not sure where Devon ultimately fell there. Although considering where Danny stands on Nicole when she comes in, I'm going to guess it's not super favorable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mary, I feel like Ian seems like a little lobotomized in the jury house.
I think he was a little bit, maybe being there by yourself can bring you down. When you get to naming the turtles, I think that's definitely sad. He seemed happy to see everyone else. He seemed to be one of the few people who accepted David and his shot at taking the 10K. You know, when Devon showed up, and she was like she's like the friend you have when you're in a group of people, usually a group of girls, and you're like going out and you're like, okay, I'm going to make sure everyone's having a good time. I'm in hostess mode. Like, do you need a drink? Let's get you a drink. I feel like you could use a drink. You could use a drink. Ian, I know you could use a drink. Let me take the pitcher of margaritas
why?
With us.
Why would I want a drink?
Well, that's the thing. Every single time Ian was on the screen, he mentioned getting drinks, and every time it was more and more drinks that he was talking about getting.
He want more drinks. Yeah.
I need a drink.
I think that may have contributed toward his overall demeanor.
Good move. Possibly. But why wouldn't she make it?
You know, for all the people who said that they were going to quit the game or quit the jury house, at least they're there.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Ian just, this was not his season, y'all. Like, he just was not about it to this season. So even when he got eliminated, you got no, like, when you have no emotional drive to go forward anyways, once you're out, you're like, whoa, finally, that's over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you got me out? Oh, thank God. You know, so it's very much the energy for me.
All right. Next up, we have Kevin comes in, and Kevin, he's going to explain the neighbor's twist, Mary. Which was, he tries to explain what that was.
Yeah, he's like, so Dr. Will was there. Oh, Dr. Will was there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he told us to be 3 steps ahead. Okay, 3 steps ahead. So I think it's a double eviction. That's my guess. All right.
Where he got his bath.
Yeah. And there was something about a sedated salamander or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then David comes in, Josh. David's here, and it was a redemption story for David.
Yeah, he's like, I went from first boot to eighth place, you know, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, if he comes, back next time, Taryn, he can get the fourth place. The season after that, get the second place, and finally a win.
There it is. I just love David's attitude. He's so positive. Like on a season where people are just like so overwhelmingly negative, he was always such a like a bright spot that he was like just so happy to be there. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more people who are happy to be there.
You put 10K in your pocket. And, you know,
yeah, that 10K went on.
They all have 50K in their pocket. What are they not to be
50,
happy about?
I thought it was 40.
They get additional. Once they make jury, they get another like 13K.
Man. Okay.
I know you freaking lie. Oh, yeah, I would have been satisfied too. You know what? Where the drinks at? I'm whooping in. What?
All right.
Yeah. What?
So next, we have Danny comes in. And Mary, Danny is the one that has all the information, but also sadness.
Did someone hold an umbrella over Nicole? Because she was getting some shade from Danny this whole segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm so surprised.
I mean, Danny was so upset. For someone who had been BFFing it up with Nicole all season, She was like, that girl does not deserve to be in there over me. I'm upset that Cody chose her over me.
Yep.
She's not even playing well. Anytime anyone said anything, she was mad at David for taking the 10K because she's like, but you could have taken out Cody, which could have butterfly affected me being in there somehow, probably.
Yep. Taryn, we know that Dani, that her goal going in, she wanted to be the queen of Big Brother. And I think that she might, while she had her target set on dethroning Janelle, that maybe the prophecy was that a younger queen was going to be coming along to actually be the person to dethrone her.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Yes.
It's she said, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. But to me, it felt like she was very bitter. She's just taking all of the bitterness she has and directing it into one person. And like everybody else is clean. It's all Nicole's fault. Like, this is very like, blame the infidelity on the person.
Yeah, you blame the mistress, not the husband who cheated. Yep.
But Mary, I think that this was Dani's game, that she doesn't want Nicole to win, and so she's in the jury house planting more seeds, baby.
Yeah. the game don't stop.
Definitely a lot of talk about thinking Nicole was just there to be the final girl, and this isn't a horror film. We don't need the final girl, guys. Come on, this should not be the goal.
Well, that's the thing, the final girl wins, so that's if it's a horror movie.
Well, they're watching all of the videos eventually, and here's Dani talking about Nicole.
Let's be real, was she playing a winning game this season?
Ooh,
seed planted, so subtle.
Let's be real. And Kevin is like, I think so.
I love Kevin.
Well, what's also interesting is if you go back and rewatch the triple eviction episode, that was probably some of the most, I don't know if I'm going to say like good strategy, but like the strategic talk we had heard from Nicole all season about how she was mistrusting Dani and did want to eventually come for Dani. And Nicole's not going to be happy when she sees this. And I think she is being underestimated here.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Nicole was so worried about her friendship with Dani. After Dani left, she was like, oh my God, she's going to see all the things I said about her, that I did not trust her, that I was after her. And it turns out Christmas was the one I couldn't trust. And Dani doesn't even know about any of that. Any of the stuff Nicole said about. She's just mad at Nicole for existing next to her on the block. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what she'll think when she sees all of the other stuff.
Yeah. Kevin also had another observation when we saw the psychedelic salamander. This is what Kevin said.
He kind of looks like Tyler's brother.
Just does the salamander look like Tyler's brother?
Whatever. Big Brother house for so long, you know, you just mix the person who talks like this with the salamander that talks like this.
It sounds like Tyler. I don't know if he looks like Tyler.
Sound, eyes, like similar. You know,
yeah. Okay. what else do we take away from the jury house, Mary? Anything?
Let's see. Margarita is Dani throwing shade.
Taryn, this jury that you've talked about this on the live feed updates about how that you didn't know how the jury thought about Enzo, but I think we got a few data points about what the jury is thinking about Enzo.
Yeah, I thought that this might happen, that David has come in, like Enzo didn't make the move, and they're like, yeah, Enzo hasn't made the move, and it's not good for Enzo. It's very good for Cody. How I see this happening is that Ian went in talking about Tyler and Cody being the two best players. Davon came in. She was very positive on Dani leaving. I think Davon came in, kind of talked Ian around to like, I don't know, Danny's the best player. Ian tells us Dani's running the game. Then Dani comes in and it's like, wow, Tyler got Dani out. Tyler must be running the game. They're about to see Tyler being sent home by Cody. I have a feeling that at this point, with Dani saying Cody's playing the best game, they're probably all going to come around to, wow, look at Cody. That was my main takeaway based on what we saw, and this can be misleading, but it really seems to me like Cody is the front runner to win in the final two. which is not good for anyone else because he's also a front runner to sit in the final two.
Right. But Josh,
exactly.
There was some talk about how, like, oh, okay, that David, what votes did you have? Oh, we thought you had Enzo. And it's like, okay, so that Enzo could have made the big move and voted out Nicole. And even Kevin was like, yeah, what's up with that, Enzo? Why don't you do anything?
I know I suck, yo. I know. I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
It's obvious, though, that they do see Enzo as, like, the underdog. So him being able to survive amongst all of these committee players are really probably going to incentivize that, hey, maybe he has something going on in his head, you know? And
he's not doing anything.
He's not.
Who's Cody?
And the thing is, Tyler has been telling him, like, you need to make your big move, be getting Cody out. And if the jury is over here saying Cody's the number one, Enzo's done nothing, and then Enzo gets Cody out, if that's really what they're thinking, yeah, that's great. Big check in his favor.
Yeah.
But Enzo, while Tyler trusted Enzo too much, Enzo trusts Cody too much and just trusts the fact that he can beat him too much as well.
I don't know what he's thinking.
Enzo has been telling Cody, and it's been funny on the feeds watching him do this because it's a funny thing to say, but he's been telling Cody, like, hey, yo, you've done nothing with your HOHs, yo. You took out Keisha and Kevin, yo. You got to take out Tyler to have it on your resume, yo. That's it. And it's a funny thing to say to Cody, but I think it's right. I mean, I think that they are going to give Cody a lot of credit for being the person to take out Tyler. And that's not good for Enzo.
Yeah.
And when Tyler is telling Enzo, you can't beat Cody in the end, and Enzo, if say he wins the HOH tonight and he targets Memphis and he gets Memphis out, and he's like, that's my big move, yo. I got Memphis out. That's it. They're not going to be impressed. They're going to say, no, Cody, you got to get Cody out, because Tyler's going to get into that jury and say, I told Enzo, you can't beat Cody. You need to take Cody out. You need to take Cody out. And he's not going to do it. And that's not going to be a good look.
Yeah.
He's still my hopes and dreams for winning.
Enzo is?
Yeah, it's just more fun. I don't know. It's
Why
funny.
Are you guys so surprised? This is Enzo, you know, the man who made the Broski Alliance.
The Broski.
Yeah.
BB12, man. Listen, he's just too friendly. And he's being way too friendly with Cody to the point where he's like competing. He's like helping him out with shots to take. So when he goes see it, he could tell him, hey, Cody did this, y'all, but I took out Memphis, yo. Memphis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too locked in on Cody. Mary, I felt how you did about Enzo, but I'm over it.
You just want a move to be made? Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I think that there's just like, there's, I think at this point, it's more like it's the meme of it is why I'm going for, because I was so low on him preseason.
Yes, you were. You were on the preview.
I was trying to be fair here. Yeah. I just think it's funny. It's not like I'm not saying that he should. If I was looking at gameplay, I do think Cody's played the best. And so I'm like going to be happy with I'm going to be fine with that. It's okay. I think Nicole's played fine. I think Memphis has played fine. I think Christmas is there. So I think, you know, it's.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Let's get on the Nicole train.
Sure.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, why not?
No. Why not? Nicole train right after we find out Danny's poisoning the jury against her.
Well, that's going to only help her. The more that that Danny's plans never work, the more Danny tries to poison the jury against her is going to be. That's all she needs.
Anybody who takes a shot at Nicole, at Cody, honestly, I'll be like, okay, you know what? Now I'm seeing you. But nobody's going to be able to do that. So nobody gets the crowd except for Cody at this point.
Here's why I think Danny will have some influence here, because I think based on what we saw, that Davon really had a lot of respect for Danny's game coming into the jury. I think that means that she is going to respect what Danny says in terms of her analysis, since Danny had so much more information than Davon. And if Davon is with Danny, then Kevin will also be with Davon and Danny. So that's another, you know, couple of people. David might not join in, but he has a decent relationship with Kevin. And if Tyler comes in very pro Cody, very anti Nicole, he said on the feeds the other day, he will not vote for Nicole in the final two unless she makes a big move, probably meaning take out Cody.
Yeah.
Which means I really feel like there's a lot of momentum in this direction.
Mary, Is there any possibility in the universe that we could see Nicole and Christmas pull a Big Brother 4 style June and Allison and pair up to be the final two of the two women in the house?
I don't even like the comparison of them to June and Allison. That is just so sad for June and Allison. Great. I mean, look, would it be fun? Would it be exciting? Yes.
Turn the tables on Memphis, Cody, and Enzo.
For all that, and maybe I'm wrong. This is just my humble read. For all that Danny is saying that Nicole wants to be the final girl, I think Christmas wants to be the final girl. I don't know if that's a thing that she's verbalized in any way, mm-hmm. but I think I think she's the one who I think would be less likely to try to turn the tables. I mean, Nicole, she's done it before. She's done that kind of thing. I could see her wanting to do it. I just don't know if that would happen.
The problem is that all four of the women that made that bombing, blitzing alliance or whatever, they all said that they wanted to be the final woman remaining at one point or another.
Yeah.
So
if you're going to be girl power, you should be not just trying to settle for being the final girl. You should be trying to win.
Yes.
Girl
power. Aim higher, Big Brother ladies.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Me as a girl having power. That's girl power. That's
girl power.
What do you mean?
No. Okay. Anyway, but
girls power.
I do think it would be entertaining. I just don't see any path for that.
That would
to
be
really
an exciting
happen.
Finish. Okay.
Yeah,
we can dream. I can dream. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to our speeches here tonight. Christmas is up first. Of course, it's Loyal's birthday. Happy birthday to Loyal tonight.
Yes, 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 yes.
Happy birthday, Dominique.
Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves.
Yes, yes. All the birthdays.
Yes, 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 okay. Yes, yes. How disgusting it would have been had they done anything wrong toward Christmas.
Yes. Today.
Yeah. On my child's second birthday.
Second. Okay. All right.
I don't know. I made that up. Is that right?
I don't know. Here's Christmas's opening.
Gratitude for God. Happy birthday, Loyal Atticus. You are the light of my life, and I am sorry that I cannot be there with you right now, but Mama's working.
Mama's working.
It's also, I feel like at this point, they're just brown nosing Julie. They're just trying to get a response from Julie because they know what gets a response from Julie now.
Yes. Okay. Well, we will have a response from Julie. Christmas said something else that was weird. I thought she calls this a season of something that I haven't heard before.
I'm having an amazing time playing with each and every one of you. You guys are all individually just like hitters.
Josh, you guys are hitters.
Hitters, man. Listen, in Christmas' eyes, being a hitter, it's a compliment. You know,
Christmas is a hitter, from what I hear, Taryn.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
She's a hitter.
She's a hitter.
Yeah.
Come for her.
Huge hitter. Major hitter.
At the start of the season, Christmas really wanted to name an alliance, and the name that she was pushing over and over was the Pipe Hitters. She really likes pipe the hitters. Concept of pipe hitters. They're like the special forces. They're the guys you call in when you need the dangerous stuff done in the military. The pipe hitters.
Stop trying to make hitters happen.
Like
it's not going to happen.
Nancy
she really
Kerrigan
wanted Cody to
thing?
Give her hitbit.
Yeah. Pipe hitters. Wow.
Pipe hitters. Okay.
If you hit the pipe, you're in with Christmas.
That sounds sure like something
just make sure
from
it's not an exhaust pipe.
Yeah, it sounds like something from Tough as Nails.
Yes. So Christmas ends her speech. Julie loved it.
Thank you, Christmas. And I love that you love God. With a name like Christmas, how could you not? I love God too.
What I learned from these speeches, Christmas loves her child. Tyler loves Angela. Julie still wants everyone to know she loves God. This is like third week in a row.
Yeah. It's been a weird thing that we've had here in Big Brother 22. I Josh, I'm sure through the history of Big Brother, I'm sure many people have thanked God, but this is the first season that Julie also adds in. She too also loves God.
Yeah, you know, what can you say? She definitely doesn't love the season.
So what, you don't also love Angela?
Yeah.
Did someone tell Julie, like, Julie, I don't think you're letting everyone know that you love God enough. I think you need to mention it every time. Like, I feel like that's what it seems like.
Yeah. Okay.
This
is what you need to do. If you want Julie to respond to you, mention God or mention an event from a past season. Because in both cases, she will feel the need to tell I also love God. And, oh, you're talking about last season when you lost by a single jury vote in the final two? Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. Yes. For the second time in a row that Julie ends up touching on somebody else's previous defeat. This was how Julie talked about that with Tyler.
That's what I didn't want to do. I did that last time, so I didn't want to do it this time.
The last time you made it to final two and you lost by one vote. 5-4.
You know, I was really happy that she mentioned that, actually. Because
whatever.
But like, when people get that close and lose and then examine their game and sort of examine incorrectly the stuff that they did right or wrong and come back and then do worse, like, you probably would have had better luck trying to play a very similar way and hoping that this time you just get that one extra vote.
Yeah,
as long as your way of playing wasn't like pretending to be an undercover something or other, like
that was the thing. He was watching all these goodbye messages, like, these were my 5 final threes, these were my 3 final twos, I had this one called the wise guys, this one called the commission, and I'm Tyler had to be sitting there like, are you kidding me? Like, this is my bread and butter, a bunch of final two deals, and I thought I was supposed to not do, they've all been doing this the whole time, I could have been playing with these.
It's almost like there's a podcast where they break down like what you did right and wrong, and like, you know, maybe that would help moving forward. I just think he's probably sitting there also thinking like, haha, but one of you guys is going to get second place, and it's because you made all these alliances.
Yes. Yeah. This is what Tyler said when he got the goodbye messages.
We got a lot of people double, triple dipping, I guess.
Double, triple dipping.
You might call them 3 steps ahead.
3 steps ahead.
1, 2,
this is what you call.
We got a lot of people double, triple dipping, I guess.
I mean, peak Tyler this season was back in like week 1 and 2 when he was making a bunch of sort of final
double,
two deals.
Double, triple dipping.
Yeah.
Double, triple, quadruple dipping. He should have done that. And I wanted to step higher.
Okay. Tyler, he ends up trying to warn everybody. It's not going to be good for you if you vote me out. They do it anyway. And Tyler ends up getting voted out of the house, to which Julie greets him with an air hug.
Hey, Tyler. Air hug.
Air hug.
From more than 6 feet apart.
Yes.
Yes. Air hug. Is air hug a thing, Josh? People doing air hugs?
No, we just say hi. You know, that works too. You know,
can you do an air hug with one of those like air cannons? You know what I mean?
No, you don't
shoot some air.
I'd rather not. That seems a little dangerous.
I think you don't want to shoot air at people. Ideally.
Well, then what's an air hug?
Yeah.
Air cannon.
How aggressive are your air hugs that you're shooting air at people?
That would have been, I don't want to be in Boston.
Julie really wants to get to the bottom of, was this the right decision for the house? So she's going to go right to the source, Taryn. Okay, tell us, Tyler, these people totally screwed up tonight.
Do you believe for their game they evicted the right person tonight? Truly?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because Tyler... Was such a big threat, but you know who else is also a threat? Christmas.
Christmas is good at competitions.
She is too. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
So did they make the right? Yes,
I think they did.
Yeah,
she is good at competitions. Yeah, you're right.
You can see Julie like caught herself. She was like, so maybe it wasn't. Oh wait, I'm not supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It was the best move.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, so Tyler, very good sport throughout the whole thing, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine. I think he does appreciate the fact that it is a game, and he was kind of checked out a while ago. So,
yeah, this one did not sting.
No. And it probably, I'm not just going to say probably, I think historically in Big Brother, in spite of the 50K,
yeah,
people who come in 6th, 7th, 8th place, well, I don't know about that, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th place, probably feel better than 2nd place people a lot of the time, if it was close.
Yeah.
I feel like that thought of, yeah, like, I made it this far and they chose not to vote for me is harder than just, I didn't get lucky this time and I wasn't able to make it that far. But I did well.
If you go out before the final two, you can tell yourself every single day of the week, I would have won. If I just won that competition, right, it's a lot easier to take that, like, oh, I lost the competition I needed, or I was just too big of a threat, I was too good, than, like, no, they didn't like you.
We've already said that David seems to be the happiest person. It's because he came in with the lowest bar and then got to just, woo. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to see the HOH competition, and Josh, this looked like a HOH competition that did not look like, if you're a big lumbering guy with a bad back in Memphis, it doesn't look like this is a good competition for you. If you're somebody who did a face plant off a balance beam the other day, like Nicole, it doesn't look so hot for her. Not sure if this is Enzo's jam. Is this Halloween themed HOH a gimme for the woman named after a holiday herself, Christmas?
You know what? She said she's picking apples. Her name's not Abbott. Well, no, her name doesn't match with.
Her name is Abbott. Yeah.
You know, she just said that, like, this is something for her. And to be honest, that preview, it looked like she was already killing it. So,
yeah.
Honestly, I thought Memphis was throwing it. I didn't realize he had a bad back. I should have thought about that. That's probably why he's struggling with this competition.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is not Memphis's. He's very top heavy. Yeah. It's he has a lot of difficulty bending over. He is not the most balanced person. I don't know if you remember, but during the triple eviction, he was having some trouble staying upright.
Yeah.
Memphis, I think, is out of this. I do think Nicole could win. It's just a matter of, like, does she have the endurance to last long enough?
Mm-hmm. But it is the classic balance of, like, you could easily just step down too hard one time and all the balls roll off, and that opens the door for, she doesn't have to be winning the whole time to win this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So they did play this one in Big Brother 20. It was slightly different, though, I believe. I think it was like 3 minutes and they had like only three things to fill. The last time they did it this way was Big Brother 16, mm-hmm, where Frankie won the HOH and then he put Cody on the block. Cody stayed on the block next to Victoria at the end of the week, and they were going to vote out Victoria over Cody, and then the week reset, and then Caleb won the HOH. So Cody's played this specific HOH twice and lost both times. Mm-hmm. So lucky for him, he's not playing this one. And also, we had two different outcomes from the same competition, so this really could be anyone's game.
Well,
probably Memphis.
It's not Memphis. Memphis. And Taryn, is Enzo throwing this one, or is Enzo trying to win this one?
I think he will try to win. I don't know if he's like, he's not going to be like, my life is on the line, but I think he'll try to win. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to take Memphis out. I think it's similar to like, hey, Cody, you need Tyler on your resume, yo. I think he wants Memphis on his resume.
Yeah.
Aye.
And this would have been so in Tyler's wheelhouse. I mean, this is just like, Tyler on a balance beam, just like that first HOH you won in Big Brother 20. We saw him back and forth in the triple eviction, getting back and forth across to win the veto in the second part of the veto competitions. Josh, that Tyler can move on a balance beam. This would have been Tyler's HOH.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler is built for small competitions.
He doesn't weigh anything, so the seesaw wouldn't have been going up and down.
Exactly. He's very, the man has a certain body size that he knows how to work with. And you saw that he's a comp beast. And he was ready to just comp out towards the end.
But
so
Christmas
he was
is a comp beast too, though, right?
Yeah,
Christmas is good at competitions.
She is too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's funny. I keep falling into this trap. Like my first instincts are like, oh, Tyler would have done really well at this because it's like surfing.
It's also like bowling. Seasons,
yeah. But is it like bowling? Right.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So we'll see. Feeds are currently down, correct? That we'll find out probably around midnight Eastern or something like that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Julie is going to wrap up the show tonight, and she has another new catchphrase to end the show.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. And remember, be just, be merciful. Good night.
Be just, be merciful. Good night. She also kind of forgets that she puts the moon vest on the end of her name,
she
too.
She seems to have a lot of troubles tripping over her own name there.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's not that used to it.
No.
Be just, be merciful. That's it. Okay.
Be merciful.
All right.
Why you got to do Tyler like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they have been merciful? It was the wrong move. Christmas is a comp piece too.
Yeah, very themed. She did come in when she first saw Tyler. She was like, I thought you had it this season. Honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought you had it.
Yeah.
Did not expect you to be here.
That's the first thing you want to hear walking out of the game. Man, I thought you had it.
Yeah.
And then she cut him with the whole, you know, you lost by one vote. One vote. Did it sting earlier? I'm making it sting now. One vote.
It was so close for Tyler.
That's what I didn't want to do. I did that last time, so I didn't want to do it this time.
The last time you made it to final two, and you lost by one vote, 5-4.
My favorite part about that clip is the laughing at the start of it. It sounds so forced.
We're going to be right back taking your questions about Thursday night's Big Brother eviction. But let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at Bubs Naturals. Bubs Naturals, they believe that feeling and performing at your best should be possible at any age. And it starts with adding two simple ingredients to your daily routine. That's collagen peptides and MCT oil. Over the years, our diets, they grow depleted in key nutrients that we all need to perform and feel our best. Things like collagen, which the body slows production of in your mid-20s. That's when lines and wrinkles, aches and pains, longer recovery times, joint and mobility issues start to creep in. And that's why I like to start every day with collagen peptides. And Bubs Naturals has collagen that dissolves easily in hot or cool drinks and is highly bioavailable, so your body can use it fast. That don't just take my word for it, that they've got a ton of high performance athletes. If you want to compete like Christmas Abbott, like the 2018 and 2019 World Series champs, they know that the best never settle for mediocrity. Bubs Naturals collagen is 100% sustainably sourced, grass-fed, pasture-raised collagen peptides. No flavors, fillers, or impurities. Whole30 approved, NSF certified for sport, keto, and paleo-friendly, and 10% of Bubs Naturals sale goes to charity, so if you feel great while you're doing good. Also, Bubs MCT oil gives you that fast-acting energy and enhanced mental focus of MCT without the oil slick. This is the best powdered creamer I've ever had in my coffee. It tastes great, and it also gives you the properties of MCT oil in a powder form. You can add a clean energy boost to any beverage that you choose. It gives you everything you love about MCT oil, and you'll actually enjoy drinking it. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code RHAP at bubsnaturals.com. That's 20% off with promo code RHAP at bubsnaturals.com. Now let's get back to talking about Thursday night's questions from our Big Brother eviction. Let's take some questions from the listeners. So we had a lot coming into tonight, okay? Let's hear what you all have to say. Do you think that Enzo realizes he needs to take out Cody, or does he really believe Cody will take him to the final? That's from Cher Bear Wood. I think Enzo believes Cody will take him to the finals.
Yes. And he has been told explicitly, you need to take out Cody. So he knows, it's just whether or not he believes it. And at the moment, I feel inclined to believe he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. Tyler, what do you know? I mean, you're only going to be one of the people voting on the criteria of your choice. And this is what you're choosing to say.
He literally said, nah, yo, he doesn't realize the jury's bitter, yo. That's it.
Yeah. Boy, Cody gets to the final three with Enzo and Nicole, wins the final HOH, takes the wrong person and loses to Nicole. Plus, then Enzo, the rest of Cody's life, has to be like, bro, why was you? I can't believe it. Why did you do this? Why did you took the wrong person, bro?
Again, yo. Again, that's it. Yeah, they're never going to be friends after that. You better make the right decision.
That'll be delicious. Okay. Yes.
I almost think getting third twice is like almost just as impressive as getting first twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like more impressive than getting second twice.
Getting it once is very impressive.
True.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
You're right.
Okay.
Yes, Rob.
Eric has a question. Sounds like Meow Meow needs to make a big move for some of those jury members. What will Enzo have to do to ensure some votes from our current jury? Hashtag that's it, yo.
Can we all say at the same time? 3, 2, 1, Cody! Yeah, that's just almost that.
No, listen, yo, it's like Memphis. He made this big committee.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somehow Cody could go out on a Christmas HOH, also, I think that could potentially open the door for him also. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily have to be the person to make the move, but getting Cody out of the way would sure help a lot. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point he needs to take a Memphis.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready for BB23 says, do you think that Dani is not going to be as bitter as she says she is?
Well, she says she's not. So how it's going to be pretty hard to not be as bitter as you say you aren't.
Yeah, I think we got involved with some double negatives there. Do you think that Dani is actually not bitter? I think is the question.
I think she just needs a couple mimosas, you know, just a little bit more margaritas, get a little bit better, and then a night's sleep. She'll feel in a little.
Well, I think she's also prepping herself for a Cody Nicole final too. In which case, she'd want to vote. Cody yeah. and Cody. Needs enough reasons to not vote Nicole.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Dani was a Porsche vote also, if I recall.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Okay.
I think like Cody could say the wrong thing to her in the final two questioning and really turn her sour, I think. But beyond that, I think she seems like she's pretty firmly in Cody's camp.
Okay. Marietta says, is it just me or did that jury segment feel off like it was too rehearsed and not the usual tone? Josh, what did you think? Was the tone off on the jury segment?
Well, I would say the first half did feel a little bit, not everybody felt so, you know, so energetic as much. But then, to be honest, this season, they didn't really play that much of an energetic game either.
You know what? So. I feel like, if anything, I feel like it was it seemed a little staged. Like, we didn't see the inside of the house at all. It was a lot of, like, every single thing was outside. So, I don't know necessarily how they're putting this together.
It felt a little lethargic. I think it was probably COVID-related, why they had to stage it more, do it in one shot. I think the weirdest part for me was just when Dani was like, you know, I'd like to tell you, but, like, let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it another. Like, they could have cut that out. We didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They changed clothes. What's going on?
Yeah, I wonder. Go ahead.
I think it's because they probably couldn't film inside because the cameramen are not, you know, that's not great for social distancing. So they do it outside, and they can't film them watching the tapes at night. So they had to wait until the next morning, but they needed an excuse to change from night to morning. And so it was, the answer is that it's always staged. It just, right. They did
let's go to the pool. Let's all come on, guys.
All right. Sure. Okay. Let's go to Katie Wallace. Did Christmas forget she's in the Big Brother bubble? Did anybody notice how long she held the door open for Tyler? Yeah. Maybe they should tell people they need to put their mask on to go near the door Christmas for next time.
Yeah, she might accidentally get some of that wafted air from the air hugs.
From an air cannon nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great Tara Renee says, do you think that Danny will be uninvited from Nicole's wedding after she sees tonight's episode? There will be no Big Brother players at Nicole's wedding. Victor, yeah, like, that's it. That's it, yo.
I think Nicole will be fine with Danny. I think she's going to just wait and see if Danny is okay with her. I think that's the way it's going to go.
I think Ian, depending on his vote, I think that might be the only person left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there'll be too many others that end up making the final cut. Okay. Let's take Dr. Will's robe. Am I the only one who never heard of the root? Well, I don't think it's spelled R-O-U-T-E. It's not like a robe.
I still don't know. Because I think the roots makes more sense. If it's R-O-O-T,
yeah.
Why would two people be the root?
It is it's R-O-O-T. It's the roots. It's like the root of the tree. It's like
the roots. The tree has more than one root.
Yes, but they are the roots. There are no roots, plural. It's just them.
Just that one.
That
root.
Doesn't make any sense. The you alliance, can't have a person alliance that's just the unplural.
The singular alliance is the root of the whole house.
I don't like it. Huh. I like the roots. I'm with Enzo.
Same, Mary. I like the roots. That'll be a part of that alliance.
Okay. Let's take a question from Colby. Were Tyler and David really that close, or is David being Tyler's guy just from saving face to the public about what he did today in Bay? Taryn, I did think that this seemed a little weird that Tyler did seem very emotional about David in the episode the other night, and then really made a point about how David is so much his guy. So not enough to not tell David about that he was really being hosed in the whole setup with the vote to save Ian. But Tyler just David is his brother from another mother.
Well, we know that OV set them up in the pregame, and so they had a relationship coming in, and I do think that Tyler really did like David a lot. We saw week two when Memphis put David on the block. Tyler was pissed about it, and was like, "We're going to take Memphis out." He was ready to go to war for David. He was ready to win the veto and use it on David. Screw the alliance. Ready to go. And then David exposed a lot of information, and then Tyler had to not tell him as much. And I think what he said about, like, I wanted to get him to a place where he was forced to work with me. And I think he had basically gotten there. And we saw again that he did stick his neck out trying to save David during the triple eviction. I think he's being genuine here. I think he likes David a lot. It's just like he just had so much trouble working with him in the season.
Yeah, I actually agree with that too. I think Tyler always has this niche for the people he know he can always beat, and really likes them a lot and want to work with them as much as possible. So I think it was pretty genuine. He wouldn't have went as hard as he did vote against Nicole. He'd probably risk his game as much for any regular bloke, you know?
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Anna Marie. For a Hail Mary from Tyler, doesn't that seem a little weak? I was expecting something closer to Dan's funeral.
All right, well, Tyler's not Dan.
It's not that. Make no mistake. Tyler is not Dan. Okay, don't get it twisted. Let's take a question from Colby. Is this the only season beyond Big Brother 1 without any showmances, even including BB Can? Has there ever been another season without a showmance?
I think this is correct.
I think there's a lot of showmances, and there's been a lot of showmance talk. It's just not people on the show together.
Oh. Okay. Either was a love triangle.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So
Tyler had that cow that he saved from that one competition.
Mm-hmm. Mulan. That was nice. Sure.
Right.
So, okay. Taryn, should we put to bed the argument that showmances ruin seasons?
I don't think so. I mean, plenty of things ruin seasons. I think showmances are one of the things that can be.
Showmances are like, hey, don't blame us.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, like, just imagine that Cody and Nicole are in a showmance. Doesn't that make it worse? Right? You see what I'm saying?
I think a married woman being in a showmance with one of the other players in the season would be pretty interesting.
No, what I'm saying is imagine they're both single and they're in a showmance running, they're running this house together. I feel like that makes it, and they're just like upstairs canoodling all the time. I feel like that would be so much worse.
You're right. I guess I would have loved to see some love in this season, you know, just give me some type of distraction. But
that was par for the course with Cody and married women.
Oh, pretty good at that. This is area of expertise.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay. All right. Here is another question from Faison. Why hasn't Enzo dropped any useful information about any of the alliances in all his goodbye messages? Seems like he's losing the most on post-eviction jury management and solely gambling on a bitter jury. Taryn, is there info that Enzo should be dropping?
Yeah, I mean, about his game. Like, what are you doing, Enzo? He just keeps... the house wanted you out, yo. That's it. That's all I got for you, yo. That's it. And it's just like, what does that mean? What does that do for me? What does that do for you? What are you doing in the game? Like, tell me. That's why Tyler was telling people about his alliances, explaining the reasoning behind his moves. That's why Cody is telling Tyler about his alliances, explaining the reasoning behind his moves. And so it's just like, yeah, yo, it sucks that you're gone, yo. That's it.
Could be worse. He could be acting like he had no clue that people were going to be leaving and that he has no alliances.
Mm-hmm. Very much. I think Enzo just doesn't have much of a strategist, a winning game necessarily, as much as he has just a strong social game. And we're starting to see it play out, especially towards these end weeks where he doesn't necessarily know what to do to make sure that his game is the top game instead of just saying like, yo, I rode out with my dog, yo. And I hope you guys are bitter.
I mean, Enzo really is. He is a subscriber to the line of thinking that a lot of people do have, which is that the jury votes for the person they like the most, the person that they have the best connection with, and they don't necessarily vote for the best player. They vote for who jury managed the best. And his version of jury management is, I'm seeing that they're complaining to me about Cody. They're clearly bitter about Cody. They're talking about how they're not going to vote for Cody. So they're not going to vote for Cody. They're going to vote for me. I'm the one bonding with them. I'm the one spending time with them, talking to them about their family, making genuine bonds with people. That's how you win juries, right? And I can see why he might think that, but I think he is missing out on the other half of things.
Well, yes. Yeah. And I also will say, like, in Big Brother 20, nobody was telling Casey, hey, you need to take a big player out or else you're not going to win. I think the fact that people have told Enzo that he needs to make a move, that he specifically needs to get Cody out. Like, if he doesn't follow through with that, at that point, it's like, I get where you would think juries are going to vote this way. But when they're telling you they're not and that you need to do this, then there's no excuse. You can't get to the end and pretend like you thought that they didn't like. Appreciate Cody's gameplay.
I think the problem is that the first like four jurors all told him the other way. They all were like, oh yeah, Cody sucks. We're not going to vote for Cody.
Amen. We're,
like, we love you, Enzo. And so he feel like he, for a long time, he was attached to that idea. Like, I'm going to beat Cody. This is great. I don't have to betray my friend. I can take my friend to the end and win. It's best of both worlds.
Cody is not a goat in the same way. Like, think about the times in game shows where the person who played well that people were bitter about or said that they were bitter about when they're leaving did win. That does happen too. Can't you get best of both worlds by appeasing Tyler and then also voting him out and people say, yeah, well, we hated Cody, so at least he got him out.
I think the problem is that in order to break the barrier of I'm going to betray my best friend in this house, like, it's going to require more than, like, you need to be sure that you win, right? Like, it needs to be a guarantee. Like, okay, I'm cutting my friend to win the game. Not, I'm cutting my friend for a 15% better chance at winning this game, because then I've cut my friend and I still lose. Like, that's tough. And so when he has a lot of reason to feel like he can beat Cody in the end because the other players are going to be bitter, then it's going to be a lot more difficult to overwhelm that evidence with evidence that he can't beat Cody and he has to go against Cody and that he can beat somebody else. And that he has to go to the end with that person.
Josh, I just want a final two speech that's all yo's and bros and come on, guys.
A couple
that's
of yo's sorry. And a couple of bros.
It's going to be a lot of those. I think one fact, though, is that like I think Enzo has in the back of his head, due to having so much knowledge amongst all of these evictions, that he feels like he has made some of these moves that Cody has made. And since he's owning a lot of Cody's game, I feel like the jury just doesn't have the whole story yet. And it's probably going to go into the end thinking that he played the same game or a similar level of a game as Cody. But plus, he had the social connections. And maybe in his own head, he's like overhyping the entire game that he's played, causing him to think he could beat Cody.
Taryn, is there any possible way that we have like some sort of like John and Netta situation with Enzo and Cody where that Enzo could win the final three HOH and then not take Cody to the end and basically just say like, hey, you're too good, yo.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always a risk. You know, I think it's especially prone to happen if maybe Christmas is in the final three with them, because Tyler said under no uncertain terms, you can beat Christmas. And
what about
so
Nicole? Do you take Nicole to the end?
See, now Nicole is a little trickier because Tyler said you might have some trouble beating Nicole. He said he wouldn't vote for Nicole, but then Nicole could win, especially if she makes some moves. And so I think while Enzo might consider it, he's going to look at the options and be like, okay, I know a lot of people are bitter against Cody. They told me so on their way out the door. Tyler told me I might be able to beat Nicole, but I can't be sure about that. And now again, if I'm a little bit up in the air between these choices, I'm just going to default to do I lose my best friend and lose the game, or do I take my best friend and maybe lose, but maybe also win? It's the decision that Cody went through when he was in that spot. And it's the one that I think both Nicole and Enzo will make if they're in that spot.
But Mary, exactly. If Nicole doesn't win anything, Enzo is Mr. Nicole. She doesn't win anything, yo. And a winner can't win my season, where he knows he would never vote for a winner. I think that might bias him against thinking that other people wouldn't vote for a winner.
It, definitely. Because he's also been saying that all season as a reason to get Ian and Nicole out. And they both made at least jury.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Take a couple more questions. This is from Alicia. Is the commission something that Cody still talks about? I was surprised to hear him reveal that in Tyler's message tonight. Yeah, what was up with that? That was just another reason why he couldn't vote for Tyler?
Yeah, explaining his game, explaining that like he has had a relationship with Memphis the whole time. He does not plan to sit next to Memphis in the final two. And so hyping Memphis up as his next, I had a deal with Memphis in the beginning called the commission. You can probably link that to the committee. It gives Cody some credit for the committee, which he will probably need. When Memphis goes out of the game, then Cody has now revealed that information. It's not going to be something that Memphis gets to reveal to everyone on his terms. It's overall, I think, like absolutely the right move. And it explains also why Cody picked Memphis over Tyler when he had to make that call of who to take out. Right. So I think overall, the right move to reveal that.
Yeah. Plus he was picking his audience, you know. Tyler's known for, you know, making multiple final twos with everybody. So Cody's going to be like, he's trying to respect this. So he just went with it, you know. Okay. It's a quadruple duple. Triple.
Preaching to the choir, yeah. He's the double triple dipping.
Oh yeah, there you go.
We got a lot of people double triple dipping, I guess.
Double triple dipping, man.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is a question. Is this going to be the first time since season three that two people make it to the final three without being nominated? Okay. Who would that be? That would be Cody and Enzo.
Cody and Enzo. Most likely.
We'll see. It's possible.
Out for a Christmas HOH win. Yeah. Ruin that.
Okay. Who would Christmas put up, Taryn?
Cody and Nicole.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Nicole better win that veto.
Okay. So, it's Cody and Nicole. And then if Nicole and Cody are still up on the block on Thursday, Nicole will be voted out. It will be Enzo and Memphis will vote out.
Probably. As of right now, that's the plan. But I can't guarantee that will happen because Cody sitting on the block for an entire week and Christmas telling Memphis we should take the shot all week long.
Yeah, especially when he calls in the can't episode. Win. Right.
Yeah. Like, are we really going to take Nicole out of the game over Cody and with a week to think about it? Very, very good chance that Memphis changes his mind and decides to cut Cody here. And that's potentially a winning move for him.
I do think Cody picked the right shield and Nicole a winner. Because all you got to keep on saying, she's a winner. You're going to take her to Final Four. She's a winner. You're going to take her this far. That's all I would say. And honestly, that would have been enough for me to cut her out.
Cody has anticipated this scenario and he has arguments planned for it in case he needs them with Memphis, saying things like Enzo will back him up, like don't burn Enzo by voting out Cody. If you vote out Cody, you've burned Enzo. And now you've kept Nicole in the game and everyone's going to want to take Nicole to the end, especially now that you've broken that barrier of your alliance. You're no longer guaranteed to the end. So he's got things planned in that case, but I don't know if it'll be enough.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Let's take some questions from Otev. Since Danny is Cody's representative in the jury house, can we expect Cody to win if he's in the final too? The other jury members seem to have a lot of respect for Danny and her game. Will Tyler also be pushing for Cody to win? I think the last part of that question is the part we haven't talked about. Mary, will Tyler also be another person stumping for Cody?
I think he probably could. I think unless Enzo makes a big move, and then if Cody's not there, then I think he would stump for Enzo probably. But yeah. I do think that he probably is going in that direction. I think Tyler's not bitter and he respects the gameplay. I think also some of it is going to depend, though, on if the jury feels like Danny's... if she feels like it was just because they were friends, her and Cody and Buddy Buddy, or if she has like real reasons for thinking that Cody could be the best. Because if everyone is respecting Danny because they thought she was in the driver's seat and then find out, oh, actually Cody was, it probably increases their respect for Cody, but decreases theirs for Danny. So it's a conundrum there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think this is right, and I think Tyler is going to come in and he's going to say, "I told Enzo, you need to double triple dip and take out Cody," and I think they will all be looking for, okay, who's going to make the move to take out Cody? If nobody does it, I think they're going to give it to Cody. I think it's pretty straightforward at this point.
Okay.
I think Tyler's really going to not even pay attention to pushing Cody. I think you're just going to say, yeah, you guys, Enzo did amazing. Oh, you guys are down on Enzo. Enzo did this and that. He's going to just keep on hyping up Enzo to the point where Enzo and Cody are at the final two. And they're going to be like, well, Tyler did say Enzo did all this, you know, so.
I do think you are right. I think that Tyler won't sit by and let Enzo be trashed as well. I think that he will. If Danny is saying Enzo did nothing, Tyler will be like, oh, no. Enzo had a final two with Cody. Enzo had a final three with Memphis. He had a final three with Christmas. Enzo had a final three with me. Like, Enzo's been playing this game. Don't sleep on Enzo. But I think that, like, other people will be like, okay, but is he just playing for Cody? And I think that's where it will come down to. But I could see Tyler eventually coming around to being an Enzo advocate. And that could be good for Enzo. But as of right now, it feels like the momentum is in the Cody direction. But, you know, maybe we'll see in the next segment.
Taryn, can I ask you this question about Tyler? Does he care enough to campaign for anybody?
Well, that's what I was going to say is that Tyler's going to get to the jury house and they're going to be like, oh, Tyler, what happened? He's going to be like, none of you are Angela. Hold on. Where's Angela? He's just been waiting. They get, I think at the very least, like video messages from their loved ones in the jury house. He's just going to be like, he's going to get a video message. It's going to be on replay, like endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's sweet.
Whatever.
Oh. Whatever.
Okay. The Paths Forward YT says, I'm new to this show and I love the podcast. My question is, are Taryn and Rob father and son? I would love that. Yes. Taryn is my father. Yes, that is correct. Thank you, new listener. Mm-hmm. You nailed it. Nailed it. Perfect.
Wow. Taryn, you're a dad.
I am your father.
It's the The Podfather and Taryn.
That's correct.
Wow. Good job, Taryn.
anything else that we want to talk about here coming into this home stretch?
I have a great question.
Yes, Josh.
All right. Wait, hold on. Actually, no, never mind. I can't get it.
What happened? Okay. You dropped it?
I was gonna get. Oh, there it goes.
There it goes.
Oh. Yes.
I just wanted to do that.
Okay. Was it running away?
don't question me, Mary. All right. Listen. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you guys, is Cody a good player? Like, what?
Is Cody a good player? Yes, I think so.
How do we rank him amongst the best? Because he's running an all-star season. Some crazy stuff. Some crazy stuff right there.
I think it's a little early to have that conversation personally. I feel like we haven't seen it play out yet. And sometimes we have this conversation that, like, for all we know, Christmas is currently the HOH and Nicole wins the VO.
Let's have the conversation. You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Cody's gone. If Cody's gone this week, then I think at the very least, like an elite tier social player, like in his first game, you know, for as much as he had advantages coming into the season, absolutely, he had connections, he had relationships with people that that not everybody had. Even on his first game, his social game was just as good. He had just as many people who were playing the game for him, who gave him all of the information, who let him, you know, dictate their decisions. He's very, very good socially. His strategic game has improved since Big Brother 16. Not dramatically. I have always been somebody that said he was underrated on 16, that he was involved in a lot of the decisions that him and Derek made together. But he's clearly, stepped it up a notch here this season. So definitely good there. And then competitively, he's won 6 competitions so far. Who knows how many more he'll win this season. He's up there in terms of all-time competition wins overall in all seasons. At the end of the day, even if he's evicted right now, I think you got to look at him as a top-tier player. It's just a matter of where do we go from there.
All-time snoozer as a TV character, though.
Yeah.
That's some crazy stuff right there. Because, boy, is this one boring game.
His best content is like, what's an in-law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's a Texan?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was a Texan. Never heard of that. That's not a thing.
Yeah, and he used to also talk about back in BB16 that he was obsessed with who was the High School Musical guy?
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah, he hasn't
he
talked about.
Looks like him.
Does he talk about Zac Efron? Does he talk about Zac Efron anymore on the feeds?
I haven't seen him to talk about that now.
No.
God, is Cody Efron?
He's over it.
Okay. It kind of looks like him now that I'm thinking about it.
It's a little bit like Dr. Will talking about Neil Patrick Harris.
Mm-hmm. Zac Efron has not stopped by the bubble.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary, anything else you want to add about this season? Besides, you love Enzo.
Yeah, I'm having a good time with some of the people. Do you think it's going to be a thing, or is it already a thing to go into the game trying to be the person who gets the like ditzy edit segment? Like the Rennie time zones, cis grammar segment. Kind of feel like that's kind of like a fun place to land.
Well, that's, I talked about this earlier, that he is doing it intentionally. He talked to Nicole about this basically, especially once Zingbot was like, your IQ is 10. He told Christmas, he's like, I'd rather be dumb than cold. Like, I got the better one here. And he talked to Nicole about how, like, yeah, you know, you play it up in the diary room sometimes. And, when you give them what they want and you play it up, then they give you more airtime. And the more airtime you have, the more exposure you have, the more money you can make from your experience playing the game. It's all part of the thing. And they love their, these segments on like little misunderstandings. It's one of their favorite things.
Yeah, add that to the polls of who's going to get that for each season, preseason. Like, who do you think is going to get
that
segment?
The dodo edit?
Yeah. I like that. That's okay. My favorite part. Otherwise, it's fine. I'm not doing any kind of official rankings. I'm doing them on my rewatch. So right now, June's still in first place.
Hey, who got the dodo edit this season? Enzo?
Cody's getting it.
It's Cody. Yeah.
Oh, Cody's getting the.
Yeah, I don't edit.
Dexon.
Josh, anything else that you want to say about the season?
Well, they're not going to be positive. But other than that, though, you know, I really think Julie should look great this season.
Yeah.
Wow. She is looking amazing each season. It's kind of crazy.
She loves God.
Yeah. Loves God. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
With a name like Christmas, heck, you not. You know?
All right. Let's take some, let's take a look at what's coming up on robinswebsite.com. Okay. We'll talk about Taryn and I did a podcast the other day talking about everything that goes into emotional intelligence and how it impacts Big Brother. We'll have that for you this weekend. Very fun podcast. Be on the lookout for that. Some additional Big Brother content coming up this weekend. Then Puya and Liana are back to talk about more Masked Singer.
I love that show.
Who's your favorite, Josh?
Oh my gosh. I don't know that. Listen, Candy from last season was my favorite. All right, I watched that season entirely. Not though they had another season already. But
yes, they're banging it out. Is it this giraffe?
His favorite was Puya or Liana.
Sorry, I was going to say the giraffe just a troll, but no.
Mary, who's your favorite, Puya or Liana?
Yes, I thought you were asking.
Yeah,
you can't choose. You know, can't choose. The crown or the tiara. Yeah,
I think I can say this. I love Liana, bro. I really do. She just makes me really happy. I love Puya, but Liana's the best.
Sorry, Puya. Sorry, King. Sorry. Exit interview tomorrow, but I'm saying we're doing it. Throw this card away, Scott. I'm going to put the Tyler exit interview in the podcast with Taryn tomorrow. How about that on the slop? If we get one, we'll see. Okay. Live feed update with Josh's second favorite member of the Puya Liana household. It's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Yes. Pacific. Live feed update. Tommy Bracco is on the slop, plus Tyler's exit interview. If we get one back, coming up on Friday. We'll be live tomorrow afternoon with that one. And then we'll have on Monday night, we'll be back to talk about, let's see, Tyler's Hail Mary. Let's see who won the HOH. That's all going to be on Monday night live, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, Taryn's Saturday Night Roundtable this weekend.
Yes.
Okay, be on the lookout for that.
I love those.
The Legacy Watch, where will Tyler fall?
Where will he fall? Man, the Tyler who seemed like the most poised to enter the Pantheon has now been evicted. And I'm now curious, can he maintain top tier?
Yes. All right. We'll see. I don't think so.
We'll see.
Tyler, what do you think?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you scared me for a second. I was going to be like, oh my God, I'm such a fan.
Of course. All this podcasting is powered by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robswebsite.com/patron to see more about what we have going on. I'm going to have a patron 5 for 5 coming up later on tonight. That's when I get together with the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Sestrino, talk to her about how some people think that Taryn is my son and much more over on the Patron 5 for 5 earlier tonight. I was live with Jason Reed. We talked about everything that was going into this pregame eviction. We'll do that again next Thursday for the Big Brother 22 eviction night pregame show. So join us next Thursday live for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And then, of course, you can follow us on social media where we share lots of clips from the shows in case you ever miss anything. Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter at RHAP Grams on Instagram or our Rob Has a Podcast Facebook page. And of course, coming up, we are closing in on a big election. Make sure you're registered to vote. Head on over to vote.gov and find out what you need to do to get registered in your state. Don't be the double, triple dipping. Just vote once. Head on over to vote.gov to make sure you're all set for your voting plan for November 3rd. All right. So,
I love that.
Yes. Thank you.
20-year-olds, vote, please. Do your thing this year.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's right.
I need to hear that.
Okay. Josh, you have a bell. Did you get that just for the podcast or you had that just lying around?
No, I have this game called... Pitt, and Pitt? It was just like, yeah.
It's the best.
How do you play Pitt? Right?
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. It's like a stock market right now. And oh, hi everybody. Yeah, it's a stock market. If you know what Pitt is, send it to Rob because I am terrible at explaining things.
Mary, what's Pitt?
Come on,
it's great. Yeah, it's like a stock market, and you got commodities, and you trade them around really fast, and you got to ding the bell.
What,
and
you win. I got two.
It's like the stock stock watch. Yeah.
not quite like the stock watch. It's great. Your kids would love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Taryn would be into it. He loves the stock watch.
Stockwatch is great.
Yeah. Josh, where can people keep track of you on social media?
Well, that is a great question, Rob. You guys can follow me at joshceo.jw. I post a bunch of random stuff, and right now it's Zen mode with me. We're going to talk a lot more about spiritual things, you guys. And
you're in Zen
your
mode?
Chakras right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, when you're just having a rough day or a positive day, you know, you just got to relax.
Josh, tell me, how do you get into Zen mode?
Oh, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody, practice with me right now. Hello, everyone. Hi. Can you guys hear me good?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So I want everybody to just stay relaxed.
Yes.
Close your eyes for me 1 second. Yes, everyone. And then breathe. Do a deep breath. Just one deep breath. Yes, yes. Hold it. Right there. And then as you do a quick sigh, letting go of all your memories, all those thoughts.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That was a quick mode with Joshua. Yeah, okay. Joshua's in.
That's
what you do? Yeah. You do this for people on Twitter?
No, but I should. Oh my God. That's a great idea.
Yes. Okay.
Start charging people.
All right. Okay. All right. I was doing the strategic snake. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
You're not supposed to be thinking, Rob. No. What are you doing?
I wish I could turn that off. Okay. Josh, always good to see you. Of course. Mary, what do you have going on?
Same old on Kowski Cast, which has turned into the melting pot of teen dramas and people forcing me to watch horror-based TV shows.
Like what?
Well, I did a rewatch of Haunting of Hill House, and I guess Bly Manor's coming up, so I'll be doing Haunting of Bly Manor for anyone who's interested in that. I've been sleeping with my lights on all week.
Wow. Watch Wolf Creek.
Ooh. Yeah. This, you know what? If people have suggestions, send them my way based on my time schedule. It'd probably come out in anywhere from 6 months to 4 years. But, you know, Twilight podcast is going great. And Riverdale's on hiatus, but it's coming back in January. Mm-hmm. So get ready.
Okay.
Woo.
Be on the lookout. And of course, Taryn, what do you have going on tonight?
Hey, King.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find me on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I was live earlier today talking about the stock watch. I mean, if we get something super interesting tonight, maybe I'll go live tonight. You never know. That's why you got to go there and you got to hit the follow button on Twitch, and then you'll be notified when I do go live, and you can hang out with me, ask me questions, all kind of fun stuff. So check it out. You'll, of course, find me tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update whatever happens today and tonight on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And then I'll be on the slop, and then we'll do the round table on Saturday, and we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop.
All right, Taryn, very excited to talk some slop with you tomorrow. People have already been sending me in some suggestions. People want to talk about Enzo has a foot fetish stalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We haven't talked about that. Let's see what's going on with that.
About that.
Mary, are you less in on Enzo yet?
I need that explained. Does he have a foot fetish, or does someone else?
No, I think there's someone that has that loves feet and wants pictures of Enzo's feet.
Who doesn't?
Okay, we'll talk about that.
You want to see pictures of Enzo's feet?
I guess so.
Okay, we'll talk about that and much more over on the slop. You know, Taryn, that we are now talking Big Brother into October here on the podcast. I'm just wondering, like, should we have like a finale night? Halloween party.
What are we gonna dress as?
I don't know.
Are we gonna dress as Cody with confetti coming down?
I don't know. Nightmare? We'll see.
Or is it Nicole with confetti coming down? Is that worse? I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's worse.
What's scarier for people?
Confetti. Okay.
Nightmares.
All right. So we'll talk about all of our ideas for the end of the season here in Big Brother October. Who'd have thunk it? Here, look at us. All right. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.